And all week long, we've been talking about Arizona's opioid epidemic, trying to learn more, getting insight into it from those who have been directly affected.
Those who have had to go into recovery. Those doctors who are struggling with, you know, who do I prescribe to and who don't I? And then the patients who need this medication for some chronic ailment and are struggling to receive it.
There is a role for government in all of this. And joining us right now in studio is Jessica Regler, and she is the Assistant Director of Arizona Public Health Services. So we appreciate having you in here. This has got to be front and center in your world right now.
It absolutely is. The department has been working hard on the opioid epidemic in Arizona over the course of many, many years. About 2 years ago, the governor actually declared a public health emergency, and that brought a lot more resources to bear on our efforts.
So, Jessica, paint a picture for us right now. Where are we currently in Arizona when it comes to the opioid epidemic? Where have we been and where are we currently? Is it getting better or worse?
You know, unfortunately, we are seeing a continued increase in the number of individuals who are dying due to an opioid overdose. It'll take a little bit of time to turn that tide, but we see about 1,000 deaths in 2018 from individuals due to opioids. Currently, our data is showing about 250 overdoses a month, and that's fatal and non-fatal overdoses.
Where does that stack up nationally? I mean, like, are we doing better than the national average, or are we kind of struggling a little bit? I'm trying to look for a little bit of perspective.
It's difficult to compare nationally just when you're looking across population size and the kind of data that different states collect. Here in Arizona, we're fortunate enough to have real-time surveillance data. So we actually get weekly reports from healthcare facilities of suspected opioid overdoses in those facilities, which gives us a better opportunity to target interventions and activities.
All right. Again, that is Jessica Regler, and Jessica is the Assistant Director at the Arizona Public Health Services, helping us understand this a little bit more. One thing I was curious about, we talked about the number, and you hear that number, 1,000. It's just tragic to think about. I've always heard, and I've been told, that the epidemic, the problem of opioids, knows no boundaries. It is all corners of the valley. It is men, women. It is young, old. That it doesn't discriminate, I guess, is what you would say. Do you have some hard numbers when we are talking about demographics as to who this is impacting and maybe communities that are being impacted more?
Yeah, we certainly see opioid overdoses affecting individuals across the spectrum in Arizona. One of the things that we look at is the age breakdown for opioid overdoses, and we see it across all age ranges from young children in their early teens all the way up to individuals over the age of 74 years old. About 30% of our cases are in our young adults, so those between 25 and 34 years old. And traditionally, we see this affecting men more than women, although we still have a significant number of women who are impacted.
What kind of intervention programs, what kind of resources are there for that targeted demographic? I think you said, what, 25 to 34?
That's right.
What can people listening right now do to either get someone some help and some resources, or maybe they're listening right now going, wow, these stories all week have really touched a nerve. I may need some help. Can you direct them to some resources?
Yeah, we have a great resource that we were able to stand up after the governor declared the emergency, and that's what we refer to as the OAR line. OAR, it's the Opioid Assistance and Referral Line. And that's a number that individuals can call if they're looking to be linked up to treatment resources in their community or if they have questions about opioid use disorder. It's also free for clinicians to call if they have questions about treating someone with opioid use disorder or prescribing opioids in general.
We'll have that number up on Twitter and Facebook so that it's available for all of you out there. You know, one of the things that I'm trying to understand again, and perspective is so important in this. And you gave us some numbers and some demographics when it comes to opioid deaths and those impacted by opioids. When we talk about it as a public health crisis, where does it rank on your scale? Do you guys have that? Is there a first, second, third type thing? Where is this as far as the state of Arizona is concerned?
You know, there's a lot of health priorities in the state of Arizona.
I admit that, yeah.
Of course, chronic diseases like heart disease, obesity, diabetes, those rank very high up there on things that we continue to tackle. We also look at infectious diseases and trying to drive down rates of infectious diseases and improve vaccination. But opioids is right in the mix. The department has a very specific focus on opioids. We've pulled in people from across divisions to work on that, and we're collaborating with agencies across state government as well as local partners to address this issue because we know it impacts so many Arizonans.
Wow. Now that we know that the governor has declared a health emergency here in Arizona when it comes to opioids, what changed? What mechanisms have been put in place since that declaration was made in 2018?
The declaration was actually in 2017, and we've moved past it since then. So it's been closed out. However, a lot of the infrastructure that was put in place under that declaration remains and has supported our efforts to respond to this crisis. Among those include real-time surveillance for opioids. So previously, we would need to wait many months in order to get death data for individuals who had died due to opioid overdoses. Now we have real-time surveillance in place so we can tell on a weekly basis how many people are suspected of overdosing. We also have been able to ramp up our provision of naloxone into the community. Mm-hmm. Naloxone is the opioid overdose reversal drug, and so we've got a lot more individuals carrying it and administering it in the community. One of the really seminal things that we got as a result of that declaration, too, was legislation. There was unanimous passage in Arizona of the Arizona Opioid Epidemic Act, and that really helped to infuse dollars for treatment into Arizona. It helped put some of the work that we had done into law. It helped to support better regulation in healthcare facilities so that they could make appropriate referrals for their patients to behavioral health centers. And then we got a lot of engagement among the clinical community, too, to put together prescribing guidelines and education for our medical providers on best ways to prescribe and diagnose pain and addiction.
You are hearing from the Assistant Director, Arizona Public Health Services, Jessica Rigler, as we talk about and deal with. We call it Arizona's opioid epidemic all this week. I hope you've been able to join us for some of it. And hopefully you've learned some things from it. I'm going to guess that some of it touched your heart in certain ways. And also we see the challenges, the very, very real challenges. You talked about some of the things that your organization, the state of Arizona, is doing. What sort of success are you seeing? Can you point to any metrics? Are there this is really working, or we're seeing a change here?
There have absolutely been some successes along the way. While we continue to see increases in the number of opioid deaths currently, we know that there are some changes in behavior that will result in that number coming down over time. One of those is related to prescribing practices. So we know when individuals who have never taken an opioid or haven't taken one recently are prescribed over a certain dosage or for a lengthy period of time, they're more likely to develop opioid use disorder. Since the legislation has gone into effect, we've seen an 18% decrease in the total number of opioid prescriptions filled in Arizona. We've also seen a 29% decrease in the average dosage that's prescribed for all of our Arizona patients. And even more excitingly, a 55% decrease in the number of opioid naive patients who are prescribed opioids for 5 days or more. Mm-hmm. And again, we want to keep that prescription to less than 5 days.
Why is that 5 days a critical number?
There's been quite a bit of research out there that shows that any prescription above 5 days for individuals who are opioid naive, so they haven't been on opioids for the last 90 days or so, is likely to lead to some kind of opioid use disorder.
That was a huge takeaway for me.
Yeah.
That there was research, I think, a few years ago that caught my attention because I've taken opioids in the past.
Sure.
And I always thought that it was somebody who was on it for a month, 2 months, 3 months,
extended
that was going to become addicted. But to have it as short as 5 days,
yeah,
I think is probably a wake-up call for a lot of people listening right now.
Arizona's opioid epidemic. We are going to continue our conversation with Jessica Rigler, the Assistant Director at Arizona Public Health Services. And one of the things, and I have a question for you, is what is the biggest misconception about this epidemic? What are, for lack of better terms, we all getting wrong?
Well, I think one of the things that we hear a lot is people referring to those with opioid use disorder as addicts.
Sure. We've done it this week.
Right. And and really, from our perspective, that's such a stigmatizing term. It almost implies that individuals who are suffering from this disorder are making a conscious choice or have an untoward behavior, when in fact we know the opioid use disorder is a disorder, there is a treatment for it. It's not really a choice as much as it is a condition that someone's suffering from.
Is this the discussion, and obviously I understand with your department there, that this is a medical issue, not a law enforcement issue? Like, you can understand that where that line seems to move around.
One of the goals that we have is to equip clinicians in the community with prescribing practices as well as treatment and referral practices so that they can support individuals who are suffering. And there's been money infused from the governor to support that treatment across the state of Arizona.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Jessica Rigler. She's the assistant director of Arizona Department of Health Services. And we're talking about the opioid epidemic here in the state of Arizona. What's it look like, and how are we combating it? And so, Jessica, my question is, how does this end? What does victory look like when it comes to battling the opioid epidemic here in Arizona?
You know, of course, we'd like to see nobody overdosing or dying due to opioids. It's going to take a long time to reach that finish line. This is a problem that has been going on for decades and decades. And so we look to turn the tide a little bit at a time. We expect over the next couple of years to continue to see increases in the number of opioid overdoses and deaths. But we're hoping with improved treatment capabilities across the state, better prescribing practices and knowledge among our clinicians, and destigmatization of the issues so that our communities can really support individuals who are suffering, we'll start to see decreases.
Why do you think that there's still going to be an increase over the next couple of years?
You know, opioid use disorder is a hard disorder to treat, and there is a lot of work that needs to be put in both on the clinical side and the individual side in order to overcome that. We also know that there are potentials for relapse where individuals haven't been completely treated and need to go back. And so we know that this will continue for some time.
And I guess I won't say I'm disappointed in you. I'm disappointed to hear that, Jessica, because we hear about some of the changes we're making in prescription, certainly the education, the awareness, the treatment, and to think that we're not even at the peak of this problem is sad. It's disappointing for a lot of people to hear.
One of the things that we look to are the successes that we've experienced in, you know, a decrease in prescriptions or high dosage prescriptions to opioid naive individuals. You know, unfortunately, there's not a vaccine for opioid use disorder that can just cure this. And so we need to put in places and stops into place for individuals to get them the support that they need.
Well, there's not like a fix-all for it.
No.
There has to be encouragement with the development of naloxone. Am I pronouncing that correctly? So how would you describe that, and how has that drug benefited our community?
Well, one of the things that is really important to know about naloxone is it can reverse an opioid overdose. So if you have an EMS provider in the field who encounters an individual they believe is overdosed or a law enforcement professional, they can immediately administer naloxone and reverse that overdose. And that saves that person from death. At that point, there's an opportunity for the individual to be referred to treatment or services. So we have a second chance for that person to try to get into services that can help support them.
I've talked about this before, so I don't feel like I carry it in my car. I have it in I have a medical kit in my car, and I got it through. You can get it. You can walk into a drugstore, and the pharmacist will write you a prescription for Narcan, naloxone, and you have this nasal spray. And it strikes me that there are probably a lot of people walking around Arizona, maybe even listening right now, who are alive because of this. I've heard it referred to as almost a miracle.
Yeah, I think that's one of the exciting things is that we have a standing order on our website that our director has signed that would allow anybody to go into a pharmacy and get naloxone. So if you have family or friends who are suffering from opioid use disorder, or you want to make sure that you have it in case you encounter someone, that's a drug that's available for anyone to possess and support one of their community members.
Again, we're talking to Jessica Rigler here, Assistant Director of Arizona Department of Health Services. And Jessica, this week we've talked to doctors, we've talked to family members, some of which are trying to help loved ones who have chronic pain. They're not chasing a high, right? They're not addicted in the sense of what we may think. They have an issue that they need this medication. In your department, are you getting any feedback from that side of the community as into struggles they may be encountering in getting the medication they feel they need?
We've certainly heard stories from individuals that feel like they're not able to get the medication they need. However, I would make clear that the Arizona Opioid Epidemic Act was not intended to deny medication to those suffering from chronic pain. It's not written in such a way that it would deny that medication. We have a chronic pain toolbox on our website, and that's intended to help support individuals who are suffering from chronic pain to look at alternative pain management strategies that they compare with any opioids that they and their healthcare provider might feel that they need in order to combat that condition.
What would you say to the parents listening right now that went to the dentist, right? And they have some Percocet in their cabinet that maybe, I don't know, sprained an ankle. I had toe surgery years ago. Our audience knows about that because I talk about it because that's where I got the pain meds. And they're in the cabinet right now. I got a 9-year-old at home. What advice do you have for parents listening to this, hearing this series all week and wondering what they should do with that medication?
Like, yeah, there are legitimate reasons for people to have opioids, like a surgery or a dental procedure. You can take them as directed by a healthcare provider. As soon as you don't need them anymore, it's time to take them to the prescription drop box, and you can find one of those online or through your local law enforcement agency and get them out of the house, because if they're not available, then they're not able to be used or misused.
Yeah, and we know that part of the issue with this is those, I'll use the term, leftover extra pills that sit around, and exactly, and somebody comes into contact with them and starts down a path. I got to tell you, Jessica, it's been amazing talking to you, and we sincerely appreciate your time, because we truly believe this is so important, and anecdotally, we all know people that this has touched. I mean, you talk about 1,000 lives lost. We know about all the people who are still struggling and battling and working with this. And it's infiltrated all areas of our community.
So we'll give you the last word here for the folks listening and who have joined us all week along this journey, diving into this critical topic in our state. What message do you want to leave them with here today?
You know, I think it's really important for all of us to circle around our fellow community members, especially those that are suffering with opioid use disorder, carry that naloxone, look to the OR line for assistance, referrals for treatment, and all of that, so that we're able to help and support our fellow Arizonans.
Check out our Twitter feed at Bruce and Pamela. You'll see the OR line there. You'll also see the website for Arizona Department of Health Services. You can get resources there. You can get links to it. And we really appreciate your time today, Jessica.
Thank you.